Father, we praise you for this glorious morning, where we can come together as believers and worship your name. Father, we thank you for this season, where Christmas is coming, it's just a short ways off now, where we remember the birth of our Savior. Father, he is awesome. He comes humbly. He comes to save us from our sins. We thank you that he did this. We thank you that he was willing to sacrifice all the glories of heaven, all the worship that was given him there, and be born as one of us, to live among us for years, and then to have his awesome ministry where he touched so many lives, and then willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Father, for all of this, and thank you that he was buried, rose again on the third day, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at your right hand, and he's coming back soon. We praise you for all of these truths, and we pray that as we worship him, worship you, as we let the Spirit move and lead among us, we pray that he'll accomplish his purposes in our hearts and lives, that we be encouraged, lifted up to your throne, thinking on you and extolling your name, thinking of the glories of our salvation and the wonders of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. May all that is done in this hour bring honor and glory to his name. May we draw closer to you and to one another, and we pray to bless Pastor Philip as he brings your word. May it touch our lives and transform us as we seek your face together. Thank you for this hour. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Galatians 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is the child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even though when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit and his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no God. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly element, whereunto ye desire again to be invited? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the opportunity to be in your house once again, to worship you, and we pray that we might truly understand your word and be able to explain it to others, and we might be good witnesses for you. We do thank you for our missionaries, our Father. We think of the Bartons this morning, especially, and the work that they have been doing for so long out there in Utah, being faithful to preach the gospel. And we pray that you'll just continue to bless them and help them, that they might be able to show the truth to those who are in darkness. We just pray that your holy will would be done there, and that Christ might be glorified through it all. We thank you for Christmas, our Father. We always think of how wonderful it is to know that Jesus came, that he was born of a virgin, that he went to the cross of Calvary and died in our place, that we might be saved. Oh, how we praise you and thank you for that. Bless each one who is here today. We just pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts and draw us close to you and have help us to follow in the way that you'd have us to go throughout the week. May your holy will be done. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Guide and help us today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So notice what it says. Long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the role he would play in God's great drama was determined, predetermined, and planned in every detail. Gabriel was also sent to announce, remember, not only to Daniel, he explained all that to him, but he was the one who came and explained to the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias, that his son was going to be special, the forerunner of the Messiah. And then Gabriel again appeared with to Mary to make that annunciation. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be born to her. My, that was quite an announcement, I'm sure. This young lady, seeing the angel and then hearing the message that he brought, and wondering about all that. What a marvelous story that is. We're so familiar with at Christmas time, right? And all that Gabriel said to Mary. It's just, you know, this passage that we read here in Daniel, thinking of all that, he says, all that's going to happen. And Jesus Christ is the key to everything. He's the one who came to put it all into motion. And this morning, we'd like to look here at Galatians chapter 4 and see about this wonderful story of how Jesus came. Paul's Christmas story, we might say. You know, Isaiah tells us quite a story about different things about Jesus. And then, of course, Matthew and Luke go into detail about his birth, what's going to happen, and all that. And Paul, the great apostle, here he has something to say about Jesus coming and how it's going to be. Notice it says he came here at the proper time, when we were in bondage. He goes back to the beginning here, talking to these people and telling them that they were once in bondage under sin, these Galatian believers. He says, you know, and going back to the beginning here, he says, you know, when you have a child, if even if you're a king or you're some important person, the heir is treated like everyone else up until a certain point, right? You know, he has nothing special there until he reaches the right age, and then he's crowned, whatever the situation might be. But he says he's under tutors and governors. It says, even so we, making it personal, right? This is the way it was with us. When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Everyone starts out that way, don't they? We're all born into this world as human beings, and we are in bondage. We're in sin. We're called what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We all. But he said we were in bondage under the law, under the righteous sentence that God had given us. But then there came the time, and this is the wonderful story that we have here in verse 4, when the fullness of the time has come. You know, God doesn't do things haphazardly, right? He has a schedule. He has it all planned out, and we wonder so often, well, what in the world is going on here? Why is God allowing that to happen? Why doesn't he smite that terrible ruler over there? Why doesn't he do all these things? Well, God has his own plan. He doesn't answer to us. We answer to him. And so he says, when the fullness of the time was come. It's the right moment, just exactly when it should have been, God sent forth his Son. So this is the reason Jesus came at the proper time. For centuries, the people had waited for their Messiah to come. And I'm sure these faithful Jewish people waiting for the Savior to come, they must have been frustrated. What do you think? Waiting and waiting and waiting, thinking, oh well, any day now, the Lord's going to come and deliver us, right? Now today, what? You know, we're sort of in that same situation, aren't we? Because Jesus has promised to come again. At the right time. And he said, nobody else knows when that is. The Father has that in his own mind. We don't know. And we've been waiting and waiting. And I'm sure, you know, the great saints of old, Charles Spurgeon, people like that were so faithful to God, proclaiming the gospel and all. I'm sure they wanted to see Jesus come at any moment, right? And today we think of that, you know. What would it be like if Jesus would come today? Whoa, what would happen? Huh? Here we are. All the plans that they have in Washington and Moscow and all these other places, you know, if Jesus comes, wrap it up. Right? Yeah. He is coming. But first of all, he's coming for us, right? So we do know that. You know, we're looking for the rapture of the church. Right? Jesus is coming to take his people home. Right. It tells us that very clearly in the scriptures that we can depend upon that. And we're looking forward to that. God sent forth his Son, and he's going to send him back again. He's made, it says, made of a woman, made under the law. When Jesus came, you know, the nation of Israel, he came, it says, to save his people from their sin. This is the beginning. When Jesus came, he came primarily for Israel, right? In fulfillment to all of the Old Testament scriptures. But now, it's been broadened to the whole world. He came to save the world, right? And we all have the opportunity of having salvation through him. But notice it says it again, and we've been emphasizing this over and over again. Made of a woman. No man. You know. In Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
And so we have here, God sent his Son, made of a woman. And it's interesting, you know, the story there. This young lady, Mary, living there in Nazareth, and engaged to this carpenter, Joseph. Living a simple life, no doubt. They weren't wealthy people or anything, just ordinary. And the angel came and announced to her, hey, you know, Hail Mary, you're blessed of God, right? And she wondered, well, what in the world is going on here? But we find here that he announced to her. And so over as we mentioned before in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then he goes and says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince, Jesus, the Savior, came. And he is certainly fulfills all of these particular names that are given here for him. And Micah chapter 5 verse 2 tells us where he was going to be born. Remember that prophecy? And it says, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Stipulates exactly where it's going to be. And he's going to be born there in the city of David. That's where David was born in fulfillment to the Old Testament scripture. It's interesting to see how this prophecy was fulfilled, because Joseph and Mary lived in them. And it's about approximately 90 miles from Bethlehem. And it took the emperor's decree that everyone had to return to their ancestral home to register for taxation. Because he needed, I guess he needed some money for something, kind of build something else in the kingdom or whatever. You know, so they had to raise the taxes that they often did. And anyway, the emperor's decree went out, and they had to go back to Bethlehem. You know the story. Jesus came at precisely the time the Father had planned. And God sent forth his Son. Notice that? God sent forth his Son. And everything worked according to his plan. In John 16:28, Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. He already was from the beginning. Because Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
He is with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And he always has been and he always will be. His physical birth was not the beginning of his existence. He lived in eternity before he ever came to earth. And Jesus prayed in John 17:5. He says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was born. He was already there. In the beginning, he's the creator. It says that God created all things by Jesus Christ. Right? And so here we find he came into this world. He had a peculiar birth, made of a woman, different than anyone else. Is there anyone else that has ever been born like Jesus? Not to my knowledge. I don't know of any. There may be some to claim that. I don't believe it. Anyway, let's look back at Luke chapter 2. We know this by heart probably. But I'm going to read it anyway. I think it's important. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born out of the Virgin. And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So this speaks of the virgin birth of Christ, we know that. And Jesus had no earthly father, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Truly both God and man, as Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 9, he says, For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is God. And he said, Well, I don't understand. I don't understand this either. But I believe it, right? Because he is the Almighty. And then, and again in Philippians 2, let's read that for a minute. Philippians 2, verse 5. Another wonderful passage of Scripture. And speaking to us personally. It says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I like this. I underline this in my Bible. And I want us to say this out loud. Okay? Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you do that?
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Huh? You believe that this morning? Yes, amen. All right. So here we find Jesus. And he was made of a woman, and it says he was made under the law. So that was his period of time coming, and Jesus kept the law. He lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law. He never made a mistake. The Father said on several occasions, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Of course, his enemies accused him of many things, didn't they? They accused him of breaking the law, the Sabbath, and all of that, but they could not prove it. There was no way, because he never did anything wrong. And then his trial, you remember what Pilate said, the Roman governor, what did he say? "I find no fault in him." We couldn't find a fault in him, because he's perfect. And he is our perfect Savior. So Christ came for a particular purpose. Notice why he came, verse 5. It says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of them." You know, the law is condemned. Right? If you're guilty, you know, and the law says, you know, this is something you're not supposed to do. Like her. We just had to come in. Steve mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Just for some people are actually saying that this guy did the right thing by killing that man in New York City. But it's not right. Because the scripture says what? "Thou shalt not kill." Right? He did it. He's guilty. Okay, so if he's guilty, then he's condemned. Right? And we are guilty. The Bible says all of sin to come short of the glory of God. We are guilty. But Jesus came to redeem us. And one, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He changed everything. We were the children of Adam, children of the devil, if you will. But now we are the children of God because of what Christ has done for us. As the angel said, "Unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ." Jesus was born to God. That might be true. You see these little babies born? That's wonderful. I always love to see little children and all the antics that they do and everything, you know. It's really joyful. But you have to realize that sooner or later they're going to grow up. They have to live their lives in one way or another. And then they come to that place where they, what, die. Boy, that's a bummer, isn't it? Think about that. You know, terrible. But Jesus was born to die for us. Not for himself. He came to save us from our sins. And it's important to remember this, even at Christmas, when we're all thinking about all the joy out on the bulletin board there. The excitement. Joy! Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Right? And we are rejoicing in that. But we have to realize, why did he come? He came to redeem us. That we might be saved. That we might have everlasting life. So Jesus gave his life so that we might have eternal life. He died to redeem us from the curse of the law. And none of us are able to perfectly keep the law. We can't do it. But he died in our place that we might have salvation. All we have to do then is place our faith and trust in him. I hope each and every one of us have done that. And if not, we can. It says, you know, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right? If you believe Jesus died for you, and you ask him to save you, that's all it takes. He's willing to do it.
That's the reason he came.
Yeah.
And we can count on that. And I hope each one of us has the assurance that we are children of God and that we will someday go to the place of the Lord for the day of Bethlehem and for the Christ of Calvary. May we worship and adore him and follow him and do his will in life. Dear Father, we thank you so much this morning for your word for our hearts. As we thought about Jesus coming at the right time and following the Father's plan to redeem us from our sins. Thank you for all that we have in Christ Jesus. Pray in his precious name.
May your benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.